You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack_daddy. I'm trying to read stuff and do the intro. I don't know what's going on. The more I do this, the more I just try to do it on autopilot, and it's not working very well. 460 episodes. I could probably just take a nap. Just rest my eyelids a little bit while the intro's going on. But happy Thursday, folks. How you doing? Good. Glad to hear it. Today we do have another interview. Again, just trying to get the perspective of the NFC North and the Green Bay Packers from the perspective outside of, you know, Packer fans and me, who is a Packer fan. And this time we went way outside and talked to a team that, or a fan of a team, a podcaster for a team that has absolutely nothing to do with the Packers whatsoever. Other than having to play us once in a while, kind of rarely, no vested interest whatsoever. So that's why today we're going to be talking to Al from All Saints Considered. He is a part of a team over at the All Saints Considered podcast, part of the Overtime Podcast Network, and they also run the website allsaintsconsidered.com. And I got to be completely honest, I wasn't sure how this was going to go, and I kind of talked to him about, you know, how much you think you know about the NFC North. Maybe we could talk a little bit more about the Saints and... Dude knows some stuff. I kept feeling the impulse to kind of lead and guide a little bit. Like, what do you think about these players, and these guys are good and these guys aren't? And I didn't need to do that. He knew what he was talking about. One other note, we used a different software or site or whatever, and the audio isn't synced up quite right because it records two separate, my file and his file, and when you put them together, it's off a little bit. And I've just spent the last probably 20 minutes trying to get it as best as I can that it lines up, but I kind of have to keep finding like every single time where we talk and see if it's synced and change each individual area, and it's taking too much time. So if it sounds like I'm cutting him off and he's taking forever to answer, I'm not being rude and he's not dumb. It got a little wonky. If you ever listen to one of those Draft Network podcasts, there was a period of time where that kept happening to them. And it was really annoying to listen to. So again, I tried to edit it, and I probably just won't use this anymore. As much as I hate Skype, apparently that's the only reliable thing out there. But just be aware of that, and then hopefully it won't happen again. But otherwise, enjoy.
In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built-for-us.
All right, man. So I just want to get a little bit of an overview of the Saints, if we could. Somebody asked me just recently who I picked to be kind of the best team in the NFL, and I thought about it for a second. I kind of settled on the Saints. I don't know if that's a common thought around the NFL or what, but I really think you guys have a fantastic team. The defense coming around, and obviously the elite weapons on offense kind of help that out. But I'm just curious, what is the general feel among Saints fans? Like, you guys pretty optimistic that you're going to do it, or hesitant, or what's the situation over there?
Well, Ryan, I think, you know, you think 2 years ago, the Minnesota, you know, the Minneapolis miracle happened, and we thought that was our year. And then last year, you know, the no call, and we thought that was our year. Yep. So, I mean, this year has to be our year, right? but I mean, I think in all seriousness, I think when you ask the majority of Saints fans and just people in general who know about the NFL, they probably will agree that the Saints probably are not only the best team, but probably the most complete team as far as what they bring to the table across all three levels, offense, defense, special teams. You mentioned the defense really kind of carried that team through the second half of the season this past year when the offense couldn't get it going. Cam Jordan, Marshawn Lattimore, DeMario Davis, who I thought was a Pro Bowl type linebacker this year. I think I think they are the best team in the NFL right now across all three levels. I don't even have to mention Sean Payton and Drew Brees and what they're going to do this year once again. So, yeah, I think it's safe to say I think at least the Saints probably are the best team and probably the best. They're probably the team to beat, I would think, to go win it all this year in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's hard to find. I mean, that's kind of the key, and it's kind of what I'm hoping the Packers can do this year. They've got, you know, we've got pieces, right? We've got those elite guys, but there's so many just holes everywhere. But the Saints, it's hard to find. I mean, there's not elite players, but it's hard to find real weaknesses on the team. And then, of course, like you said, you got Cam Jordan, you got Armstead, you got Thomas, you got Breeze and Kamara, and just all these guys everywhere. So you got the lack of weaknesses, and then just these elite at key positions too. Your pass rusher, your number one wide receiver, your quarterback, Lattimore at corner. I'm sorry. I'm just jealous. I'm just ranting.
Right now. I mean, you know, you have Aaron Rodgers, who I think, you know, nothing against Patrick Mahomes, but I think Aaron Rodgers probably is the most talented quarterback in all football when healthy. And I think the Packers do have a lot of young players going with them, guys like Aaron Jones, who finally could be the feature back for you guys, it looks like. Davante Adams, I think, is one of the most underrated wide receivers in football right now. The guy is an absolute star, and he proved it last year playing with Brett Hundley for the majority of the season. So, you know, Kenny Clark, Jair Alexander, who I really was high on this past year in the draft. So Green Bay's got a bright future ahead of them as well. So, I mean, the key is Aaron has to be healthy, right? That's the big key to all this, really.
Speaking of quarterbacks, how long do you think Breeze is going to be around?
Well, you know, this past week there probably is the most biggest piece of evidence is that recently Zion Williamson was drafted number one overall by the New Orleans Pelicans, right? And Drew Brees sends a signed jersey to Zion saying, "I'm passing the torch to you." So to me, look, that just, and I think Saints fans are pretty realistic about this. They know that, look, if New Orleans can go all the way this year and win a Super Bowl, I think Drew will take the Peyton Manning type route, you know, the Elway route, go out as a champion and retire high on the mountain. You know, I think this really could be his last year if they go all the way. Now, if they don't, I think Drew could still play at least two more seasons. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say three. At a average to above average level, he could play at still. But, you know, I think if they go all the way this year, I think it'd be really hard for Drew to come back just to go through all that again. So I'd say this year will be his last year if they do go all the way. But if they don't, I could see him playing maybe another season or two at the most.
Yeah, because it's kind of like Tom Brady in a way where you want to say he's old and he's done. But Drew Brees, I don't know, he's had a long career, but in my opinion, this had to have been one of his best, if not arguably his best season kind of ever, right?
Yeah, exactly. If you look at his accuracy, look at the low turnovers that he had this year, this probably was his most prolific and proficient season as an NFL quarterback. I know the yardage wasn't at the standards that we know it as, being 4,000 to 5,000 yards a season, but still very efficient from the pocket. He reset the single season record again for a percentage through the regular season. He threw 5 interceptions during the regular season. He threw 0 at the halfway point. So this probably was his best season all around, I think, was this year. And you kind of look at the lack of weapons he had, you know, outside of Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, and what he had to work with being a bunch of young, unproven players. Yeah, it was a really good year for Drew. And, you know, you could really argue that this was his best all-around season as far as not just the yards and the touchdowns, but everything else factors into it. Probably was, I would say, a career year, his best year by far.
You kind of mentioned the Vikings a little bit. They had, in 2017, they were a really, really scary team. Last year, they just kind of fell off the map. Outside of something crazy like losing Drew Brees, is there something that kind of has you hesitant about, you know, maybe this thing kind of falls apart, or are you feeling just pretty solid, like nothing's going to rock this thing?
You know, and, you know, I'm knocking on wood right now, I promise you, Ryan, but, you know, God forbid something happened to Drew. You know, I think this roster, you know, if you were asking this 2 or 3 years ago, if no Drew Brees, then the Saints are going to be a wreck and, you know, a team that could possibly go pretty bad. Yeah, I would say so. But I think now this team is good enough to where Drew Brees doesn't have to carry the load anymore, per se. I think you have guys like Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, Teron Armstead, an excellent offensive line with Armstead, Ramchick, and Eric McCoy, the center they drafted this year. And you look at the defensive side of things. Look at the second half of the year this year for the Saints. That defense carried the offense, 2 wins. Cameron Jordan, Marshawn Lattimore, DeMario Davis. They traded for Eli Apple at the halfway point. He kind of stepped in as that number 2 corner and played really well. So I think this team, it could win games. And I say this because I think if something were to happen to Drew Brees, that means Teddy Bridgewater would be the guy who would come in and play and replace Drew. I think this team with Teddy Bridgewater could win games. I think they could make a playoff run, per se. So it's not like the old times where if Drew Brees was done, then, you know, call it a year. It's not, we're going to prepare for the draft already. But no, I think this team could actually win games without Drew Brees at the quarterback position, per se. But I think this team is pretty much one of the best in the NFL right now. I think they're all around a stacked team and they have depth. So no, I think this boat it's going to sail, and it's going to sail without Drew Brees at the quarterback, but I think we're in pretty good shape all around.
I think if there's one thing, if you were to just ask me, that could just take this team from arguably the best to just unstoppable would be the one guy that the Packers and Saints traded with in the draft, and that's Davenport on the other side of Cam Jordan. He didn't really have the greatest year last year, I believe, 4-ish sacks, but I think he was kind of developmental coming out, if I'm not mistaken. What's the feeling on Davenport? Is there worry, or do you think that this is going to be a big year for him?
I think it's going to be a tremendous big year for him. I think the optimism around Davenport is growing in a positive way, and I think, yeah, you're right, Ryan. Last year when the Saints did trade up to take Davenport, he was kind of a raw prospect in the sense that he wasn't, you know, a polished fundamental 4-3 defensive end like, you know, we would have wanted him to. But the comparison that came out with Davenport was DeMarcus Ware when he came out of Troy in 05 with the Dallas Cowboys. Kind of a, you know, unfinished project from college. You don't know if he was going to be an outside 4-3 end or a outside linebacker in a 3-4. You kind of got to see where he goes. But, you know, this year we saw flashes, and Davenport really got into a stride probably towards the middle of the season against the Viking game in particular. He had 2 sacks and a forced fumble. Then he had then he bruised his toe, I believe, which then slowed him down, and he regressed back, you know, and didn't play a whole lot through the second half of the season. And then he came back in the playoffs and wasn't the same Davenport we saw that he was becoming. So, you know, I think now Alex Okafor signed with the Chiefs, so he's gone now, which means that Davenport is now the primary starting left side defensive end, I believe, in our defense. So, yeah, I think a lot of people are expecting him to take that next big step now that he is the guy and he's healthy in the offseason. So a lot of big things are expected of him, and I think he is ready for the challenge. And I think we all are excited to see him take this next step to help solidify the other side of the defensive line.
And speaking of draft picks, you guys didn't have a ton of picks, but I think you got some really good players, and actually quite a few that you know, if you asked Packer fans, I think several of these were on their favorites list. In the second round, Eric McCoy, the interior guy, super athletic out of Texas A&M. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was a safety that a lot of us, you know, another need that the Packers had, a lot of us wanted. Another safety, Saquon Hampton. Alizé Mack was a tight end that a lot of guys liked. And then Caden Ellis also in the seventh round. What do you think about the crop and how many of these guys you think might be able to start this year?
You know, it's kind of funny because, you know, the Saints didn't have a first round draft pick. They didn't have a third round draft pick. So if you just tell people that at the beginning before the draft started, you would think that they're going to get little to nothing in return. But they made the most of what they had. And Eric McCoy is he's a plug and play starter. He's going to be the starting center week one. Now that Max Unger retired, and he's going to be the guy for the whole season, I think, at center. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who a lot of people thought could have been, he had the talent of a high one or a low two round type player, but, you know, due to character issues, he slid. It slid pretty far. The Saints felt pretty comfortable taking him. They moved up actually to draft Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. And Mickey Loomis came out and said that McCoy, Johnson, and Saquon Hampton were actually graded out as their top 70 players. And the only guy they took within the first 70 picks of the draft was Eric McCoy. They were able to get Chauncey Gardner and Saquon Hampton in the 100s. So they feel pretty confident about those guys. Alizé Mack is a developmental tight end, obviously. And I think the roof is high on the kid. The one guy I compare him to coming out of college is if Jimmy Graham had played a full collegiate career at the University of Miami, I feel like Jimmy Graham would have been that kind of player that Alizé Mack is now, a developmental late-round pick tight end who you see potential and really could be a great tight end in this league. And I think he fits what we need and what we want our tight ends to do in the offense specifically. Ken Ellis is another great pick in the seventh round. He kind of is a all-around linebacker-type player who – believe it or not, Ryan, when I say this, he has been called the Taysom Hill of our defense because in college, he actually was used as a tight end and, you know, played offense as well. So, you know, maybe Sean Payton has a plan for that. Who knows? But, you know, really, I could see all these guys making the roster. I think Eric McCoy is going to be a day one starter. I think Chauncey Gardner has a chance to become maybe our primary dime corner for sure, but then very well could play a role in the nickel defense depending how the slot corner plays out in training camp. I think Alizé Mack as a guy I think we could develop in a year or two. I think he could be a very nice player and learn a lot from Jared Cook and Josh Hill, the other tight ends on the roster. I think all these kids can make the roster and contribute this year and for sure down the road. For sure these guys will be very good players in the NFL, I think, and the Saints to draft him where they were absolute steals.
Well, let's try to keep the Taysom Hill talk to a minimum, all right? We're still a little raw about that. We're still a little violently angry that we don't have Taysom Hill on our team. So if his name doesn't come up anymore, that would be just fine. I'm torn because on one hand, as a football fan, I love just watching the Saints and seeing what they're going to do. As a Packers fan, it's like, come on, get out of my face with this team. It's just not even fair. Between the Saints, the Patriots, the Rams, I mean, it's pretty tough. There's some really talented teams, I feel like, more so than maybe in the past. Just the level, you know, the Chiefs offense is just ridiculous. The Rams offense and then, you know, the Saints with the offense and defense. It's a tough time to try to win the Super Bowl.
If you're not one of those top four teams, then you're in for a battle.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's crazy. Yeah, you know, we're just trying to overcome, get back to being what we were in you know, 2016 maybe, but that's clearly not going to be good enough. But that's all right. So let's talk about the NFC North now, and I kind of want to change what I did yesterday, where it was, you know, maybe trying to rank or whatever, but going through position by position, and I guess just from your perspective, let's say this team was coming to play the Saints, what your impression would be for, let's just start with the quarterback. So you're going up against Aaron Rodgers, Trubisky, Stafford, and whatever the Vikings guy's name is. it doesn't matter.
The guy being paid $83 million.
That guy. Just kind of, what are you feeling? Is there a little fear, or is it kind of like, oh, good, we're going to just tear this guy apart? So at your discretion, whoever you want to start with, go for it.
All right. So obviously, I think the first guy I'm going to mention here is Trubisky, because, you know, we saw him take a step in year two under Matt Nagy, but I say a step because it wasn't a leap. It wasn't a big step from what we saw in year one. So I think the jury is still out on Trubisky. You know, I just don't know what I think quite yet. I think he's a good quarterback, but I had to see under year two with Matt Nagy what the next step is for Trubisky as a player. So Trubisky doesn't scare me quite as much. And, you know, with Kirk Cousins, it's like, look, I mean, I know he's a good quarterback. Okay. He's a good quarterback. I'll say that he's a good quarterback, right? But, you know, when the game was on the line, or when it's the national lights come down on you in primetime football, he's going to do what he does. He folds under pressure, right? That's what Kirk Cousins does. He'll put up good numbers. But, you know, when the game matters and when it's on the line and it's in a primetime game, he won't come through. That's just what he is. That's the kind of player he is. So Cousins really doesn't scare me as much. Look, Matthew Stafford, as bad as the Lions have been for all these years, Stafford is still one, you know, hell of a quarterback. I'll say that about Stafford. You know, if he can get the Lions in a position, you know, 2-minute warning, you know, late in the game, they're down, but they have a chance to win the game. Stafford scares me because, you know, he is one of, you know, stats wise, he's one of the most clutch quarterbacks in the fourth quarter, you know, for the last couple of years. That's just what he is. You know, he's a good quarterback on a bad team. And, you know, if we're only up by 3 or 4, you know, 2 minutes ago, then I'm worried about Stafford because I know what he can do in the fourth quarter in crunch time. He's a very good quarterback under pressure. And now Aaron Rodgers, well, he is probably the most talented and or gifted quarterback we've seen in this, you know, era, honestly, you know, as far as what he can do and just what he brings to the table as a quarterback. So I think for me, you know, Aaron is probably the best quarterback in this division and probably scares me the most. Then it probably go Aaron, Stafford. I guess Cousins, and then maybe, and then Trubisky at fourth. But yeah,
I think that's about how I had it. I was just, Stafford and Cousins, I actually kind of was torn on more than Trubisky and Cousins, but I think that's fair. All right, let's go. So wide receivers then. So, you know, some teams kind of have their guy, and then other teams a little bit more depth. What do you think about the wide receiver group? So, you know, Packers with Devontae Adams, the Bears, I guess Allen Robinson would be the number one, and then they got a bunch of other guys. The Vikings with Thielen and Diggs, I don't know if you kind of believe that it's real or not, but Thielen just absolutely went off last year. And then Detroit, Kenny Golladay, I don't exactly know how high he's going to go, but his arrow just keeps pointing straight up. So the wide receivers are coming in to play the Saints. What's the biggest hesitation, and who do you think is maybe not something to worry about?
I think the first guy to worry about is obviously Devontae Adams. You know, I think he is one of the most underrated superstar wide receivers in the NFL right now. And if people will try to tell you he's just a system of the – he's a product of Aaron Rodgers – go back last year when Aaron got one down, and it was Brett Hundley at quarterback. I'm sure you remember that. And look what Adams did with Brett Hundley at quarterback. He really shined and, you know, and showed how elite of a playmaker he is at the wide receiver position. And I think he's one of my favorites throughout the whole league, honestly, is Devontae Adams. Then you look at the duo of Diggs and Thielen, and, you know, as you said, Adam Thielen was, you know, was, what was it, eight straight games with 100 yards, nine games? Yeah, it was a huge streak he had. He's a very good wide receiver, underrated. And Diggs is kind of the more vertical, athletic type playmaker on that Vikings team. You know, he's the big play guy. I love them both as a duo. They are probably the best duo in the NFL at the wide receiver position, you know, just because of what they can do. No matter who's throwing the football to him, whether it was Case Keenum a couple years ago or it's Kirk Cousins right now. So. And you know, with Golladay, as you mentioned, you know, if there's one guy to pick right now in about 2 or 3 years from now who's like a superstar that nobody saw coming, I think it would be Kenny Golladay. I think from what I saw this year, he is a freak. his catch radius and his ability to go up there and get the tough and get, jump and get the ball in those tough situations. It's crazy. And the other thing about Galladay is, as much of a threat he is vertically, he's also he's got speed on him. And that's what makes him so dangerous, is that he's got killer speed on him as well. If you get him in the open field, he'll run. He is just something else. And with Allen Robinson, you know, last year was his first year back from torn ACL, so we just got to take in ACLs, that's never an easy thing to come back from, right? Especially if you're playing receiver or defensive back, where, you know, you're running so much and constantly stopping and constantly, you know, having to move and get thrown in awkward positions. So I think last year is kind of, you know, I'm not looking at last year as much of Allen Robinson as I am this year. I think this is the year where he'll be more comfortable with the injury. His knee will be fine. He'll feel better, and you know, he'll feel like he can go more game speed with the knee now. So if I had to rank him, I'd go Adams 1, Thielen Diggs 2, Galladay 3, and Robinson at 4.
And buy low on Robinson and Galladay.
It's tough because, you know, I would really like to put Galladay at 2, but just the duo of Diggs and Thielen, just cannot. I cannot turn a blind eye to that duo. So it's a very close 3 for Galladay.
Yeah. All right. So running backs, the Bears are going to be the hardest ones to put your finger on because, you know, their main running back in Howard is gone. They brought in Mike Davis. They drafted David Montgomery, and Tariq is going to be their kind of wide receiver, you know, slash running back type guy. But without knowing a ton about the Bears, the Packers with Aaron Jones, the Vikings, it's all kind of tough because Dalvin Cook, there's some argument that he's actually really good, but there's a bad offensive line. Mm-hmm. And then you got Kerryon Johnson with Detroit, who showed a lot, but he ended up getting hurt. So, you know, and even Aaron Jones, the production's there, but he got, you know, like 4 carries a game because Mike McCarthy just refuses to run the ball ever. So do with it what you will, whatever you can make of that mess. Yeah. Let me know what you think.
Yeah, no, it's really, you know, and it's probably the biggest mystery is why they didn't give Aaron Jones more carries this past year, you know? That's just, I don't get why you don't give the player as good as Jones is the opportunity, you know, and more snaps, which, you know, that's why Mike McCarthy's gone, right? Or, you know, that's why Aaron pushed.
That's one of the reasons.
Yeah. Well, it's the reason why Aaron got McCarthy fired. But, yeah, you know, I think I'm going to go with the Packers at number 1 here. I think I like Aaron Jones with LaFleur. I think he'll make him the primary back. And, you know, this will be the offense will go through Aaron Jones more or less than Aaron Rodgers, if that makes sense. Because we know LaFleur likes to run the ball and set things up with the run. So I think Jones, to me, is going to be the feature point of this offense in Green Bay. And I could be wrong on that, but you would know, obviously.
I don't think you're wrong about that.
Yeah, I think Jones is going to be the focal point, and it's going to go through him. Yeah. And I think his potential is huge, you know, because of, you know, the kind of attention that Aaron Rodgers demands, you know, at the line, the threat of him doing things, you know, not just throwing the ball, but scrambling and running. So I think it all goes through Aaron Jones, what he can do. I think number 2, I'm actually really high on Kerryon Johnson, believe it or not. I loved him this year and what he did. I loved it on Sunday Night Football when the Detroit fans are freaking out because they had their first 100-yard rusher since Reggie Bush did it, you know, years ago in Detroit. Yeah. So to see the Lion fans so happy about having a 100-yard rusher in a game was pretty funny. But I think if he can stay healthy this year, I think it's another thing where I think Matt Patricia will try and take pressure off of Matthew Stafford and put more on Kerryon Johnson's plate this year and make him more of the, you know, all-around feature back that he kind of showed last year. So I think I'm really high on Johnson. And then with Dalvin Cook, it's like a mystery because, like, you would think Dalvin Cook should be really good, and he showed flashes this year of it, but he was injured for some of it. And as you mentioned, the offensive line from Minnesota really wasn't all that great. You know, had some questions, you know, injuries throughout the season as well. So, you know, I think the jury is still out on Dalvin Cook as far as what he can do. And can he carry the load by himself? You know, I think that's the ultimate question with Dalvin Cook is, can he carry it all by himself now that Latavius Murray is gone from Minnesota? So, and then we know with Chicago, as you mentioned, it's kind of a mist. It feels like they're going to go by committee. You know, I feel like you can't just pick one running back who's going to be the lead dog here. I think it's going to be a mixture of Montgomery and Mike Davis, and Tariq Cohen as well, who kind of just does everything for that offense. So I think, I think Jones 1, Johnson 2, Cook 3, and then you have the committee of backs that the Bears have at 4. So,
yeah, and I think Aaron Jones is probably the best runner of the group. As far as all-around, well-rounded running backs, I think Kerryon Johnson is just – I really like him as well. He's a good runner, maybe not as good as Aaron Jones, quite as good. Mm-hmm. But as a receiver and as a blocker, he can do absolutely everything. So he's a scary guy. The Lions got a good player in Kerryon for sure.
You think the Lions would be a playoff team from what we've said so far between Stafford, Galladay, and Johnson, but
they've had a lot of rosters over the years that you would look at and say that must be a playoff team, but they're not. Megatron and everything else, they just can't seem to ever put it together.
Yeah, it's a Detroit thing, I guess. It's the Bears kind of curse, 25 or however long it is plus years later. So
yep.
It's rough.
So tight end, that's kind of another one. Not a ton of top-end talent in the NFC North, but, the Packers did draft Jay Sternberger. You got the Minnesota Vikings who got Irv Smith. You got the Detroit Lions who ended up drafting TJ Hockenson. And then the Bears who are sitting there with Adam Shaheen, who has shown kind of some flashes, but, hasn't been super great, and they're kind of hoping he can kind of turn that around. So, again, it's kind of hard to project what rookies are going to do. Obviously the Packers still have Jimmy Graham and Lewis, if you think they've got a little bit left. But from what you can glean from this, what do you think about the tight ends in the NFC North?
Yeah, it's kind of, this is the one group where it's kind of like, this group feels just about even. It's like an even playing field across the field. You look at Green Bay, for example. I love the pick of Sternberger. I wish the Saints were able to draft him, but, we signed Jared Cook. Didn't really have a need for it anymore, which I'm fine with, but he's a fine tight end from A&M. He kind of does it all. He'll block and get down and dirty, but also he's a very good receiving threat. Let's just say hypothetically, if Sternberger just shows out in training camp in preseason, I could really see the Packers just moving off from Jimmy Graham and just going, look, this isn't going to work out. The rookie's outplaying you. And it's a weird thing with tight ends at Green Bay because, Martellus Bennett, that whole thing didn't work out. Now Jimmy Graham is here. Jared Cook, he is the one play in the Cowboy game that people talk about. But, everything before and after that is kind of a blur. And they should have never let Cook go to begin with, I think.
Right. I agree with that.
Yeah, so, I love what they have there. Number two, I'd probably go Minnesota because not only because of Irv Smith, but Kyle Rudolph. I know he's still a very above average tight end, I think, in the NFL. He does a lot of good things for the Vikings and kind of is a very good receiving threat. He'll block well for you. He may not have like the speed to burn you down the field, but he is a guy who can go over the middle and can make the tough catches in traffic and, does those kind of things for you. Also, he's a very great leader for the Vikings, because it kind of seems like Kirk Cousins, he's all blabber, but not real, Mm-hmm. Not a real leader per se, but I think Kyle Rudolph, he is that guy in Minnesota that people look up to and respect in the locker room. I think that kind of factors into, he got the extension. I think that all that factors into it as well as to why he got the extension, with the Vikings. And also Irv Smith Jr. Also is going to be a very interesting toy in the mix of the Vikings because I could really see them running, Cook in the backfield, Diggs and Thielen out wide, and then you have Rudolph on the line, and you have Irv Smith in the slot. That could be a very fun offense to watch if you mix Irv and Rudolph at the same time on the field. And I think for me, number three, I think I'd have to go I guess Chicago because, they have Shaheen, but also they have Trey Burton, who they brought from the Eagles last year and kind of played injured for most of this year, or not most, but at some points of this year played injured. And with new coaches, especially with new offensive minded coaches, you always have to give free agents that first year kind of like a freebie because they're still adjusting to the system and how the coach wants things done a certain way. So I think I'm going to give Burton a pass on last year as far as, the numbers he put up. I think this year he could be in for a better year under Matt Nagy, be more comfortable in this offense and more comfortable with Trubisky, per se. So I think that could also help out a lot. And then with Detroit, it's like, you know, they signed Jesse James from the Steelers, you know, during free agency. And just Jesse James is a fine tight end, who I think could really thrive in a starting role. But I'll have to see how this works out, because with Detroit, it's like they've never really had success at the tight end position, you know. So just something to keep an eye on for sure. But I think, you know, Green Bay, Minnesota, Chicago, and Detroit in that order as far as tight ends go from best to worst. But
yeah, I'm glad I said it beforehand, before the Packers drafted him, because I would have sounded like a huge homer. But I felt kind of dumb saying it at the time. But I said, I don't know why everyone's so high on certain tight ends, but I would take Jay Sternberger over Noah Fant as a receiving tight end any day of the week.
I would agree with that.
He's not as athletic. Noah Fant is super athletic, but you just watch him as a route runner and just as a receiver, how smooth he is. And just I just thought he was a lot of fun to watch. So when we drafted him in the third, it was like, I'm excited. I don't know, you know, obviously something's wrong, because Noah went before and Jace went after, and these guys know more than I do, but I don't care. I got the guy that I like, so I think he's going to be a pretty solid tight end, although we've had talent there before and it doesn't materialize, so who knows. We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is going to be kind of boring. If you don't have too many thoughts, then we'll move on pretty quickly, but let's talk offensive line. I think the Bears, Packers, and Lions are all kind of comfortable where they're at. The Vikings have been kind of a mess, but they've done some things, and they've got a new outside zone kind of scheme going on, so maybe they can turn it around. But if you had any thoughts, what are your thoughts about the offensive lines in the NFC North?
I think easily Green Bay is number one, and I think I say this because I think David Bakhtiari is easily, I don't want to say overlooked, because I don't want to think he is, because I think people talk about him a lot more than Teron Armstead from the Saints. But I think he's easily one of, if not the second best left tackle in the game right now. I think it's safe to say that between Armstead, between Bakhtiari, you know, maybe Tyron Smith, if we still think that he's the same guy in Dallas. But I think Bakhtiari easily is one of the best offensive linemen in the game with Green Bay. And then, you know, I'm interested in Detroit, because they drafted Frank Ragnarok last year out of Arkansas, right? The center. Yep. And, you know, he's going to be playing center this year full time now. So I think if I had to rank him, I think I go Green Bay. I actually really like what Detroit has done in the offseason, addressing their offensive line, and they're getting some guys back healthy. So I go Green Bay, Detroit, Chicago, and Minnesota, because we just don't know what the Vikings are going to do with that offensive line. You know, it's just, right. It's kind of like a big question mark.
For sure. I guess before we flip over to defense, overall, I mean, you can kind of tell by the rankings, I guess, but overall, just looking at offense, if you were to just say, you know, I guess rank them or whatever, the overall offenses, what do you think, just in terms of not just rank, but this is a good offense and these are just not very good offenses in the NFC North?
Okay. All right. So I think one would be Green Bay, obviously. Two would be Minnesota. Three would be... okay. You know, one Green Bay, two Minnesota. And it's like, you know, I know we just went through this list and I know I said Detroit had better players. But then again, I have to think about Matt Nagy, what he brings offensively to Chicago. You know, I'm going to go to the play. I'm going to say, okay, Green Bay, Minnesota. I'm going to go to Detroit at three, just because the players, you feel like, and a healthy offensive line and a re-improved offensive line. I'm going to go with Detroit at three, and I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, because the Lions never do. They never get that benefit, so I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And I'll go Chicago at four, just because I need to see another year of Trubisky and these other players under Matt Nagy more comfortable in this offense and see what they really do this year.
I would say that's the right order. So defense, we'll just work from inside out. I know generally the way that this is seen is Bears and Lions have great defense, or excuse me, the Bears and Vikings have great defenses. Packers and Lions have garbage defenses. But I think along the defensive line, especially with the upgrades that Detroit and Green Bay have made, there's some pretty good talent here. Maybe not quite on the same level as each other, but if you look at Green Bay, they've got Kenny Clark and Mike Daniels on the inside, who we're very happy with here. Dean Lowry has been, you know, pretty decent. You're also going to have some of the edge guys that kind of kick inside, like Za'Darius Smith. You look at the Bears, obviously, with Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman and Bilal Nichols, really solid group. I don't know if Minnesota has a group, but Linval Joseph on the inside is a really scary player. And then Detroit, maybe not great pass rushers, but you look at guys like Snacks Harrison and A'shaun Robinson and Deshaun Hand, these big, you know, Alabama guys, and Snacks just clogging that front up. I think the NFC North has got some pretty good defensive lines. So what would be your thoughts as far as some of the scarier guys that you'd have to go up against? Just interior, yeah. Not pass rushers.
This interior, I think Green Bay, I think just because of the guys you just mentioned, Kenny Clark, who I think really is the underrated defensive lineman. I think no one's talked about him enough. But I think this could be the year that people start to recognize just what kind of player Clark is and how good he is. Mm-hmm. And if Mike Daniels if he can stay healthy, you know, yeah. That being the key, because this year he was hurt a lot and played hurt. So I think them two alone, I think, is a very good interior duo on the defensive line. So I'd probably say Green Bay won. I think Green Bay has the best interior duo in that division right now between Daniels and Clark. Then I'd probably give it to Minnesota with Linval Joseph and company. And then with Detroit, between Snacks Harrison, A'shaun Robinson, as you mentioned, they bring in Trey Flowers from New England. And then with Chicago, you kind of look at what they have with Akeem Hicks. Who was a really fine defensive lineman. The Saints let him go, but we let him go to grow, if that makes sense. You know, it had to happen. So right. We're okay with that. But I mean, it's a very good division, you know, as far as, you know, defensive players goes. It's a very stacked division. And I know people, as you said, the narrative has always been Minnesota and Chicago have great defenses, and the Lions and Packers just have awful defenses. But I think now, as you mentioned, through free agency and the draft, that both have really bulked up, their defenses. So I think if I had to rank them, I would go just interior guys, right? Not pass right. rushers. Okay. I'm going to go Green Bay 1, Chicago 2. I'll go Minnesota 3, Detroit 4, but Detroit is not a far 4.
Yeah.
Like between Robinson and Snacks Harrison, it's a very close 4, or close 3, my bad. So, yeah, that'd be the order I could probably give them.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Edge rushers, the Aaron Rodgers of the defenses in the NFC North is going to be Khalil Mack. I think that kind of goes without saying. Khalil Mack is, I will forever hate the Raiders for giving Khalil Mack to the Bears. But opposite Khalil Mack, they don't really have a bunch going on. I know the Bears fans like Leonard Floyd and they expect a lot out of him, but he has done nothing up to this point. But Aaron, you know, doesn't matter when you have Khalil Mack, I guess. Vikings with Danielle Hunter and Everson Griffin. Danielle Hunter is a freak. Everson Griffin, he's got some off the field things going on, but if he can get back going, that's a heck of a duo. Detroit, they kind of don't have much, but they went out and got Trey Flowers, who's going to be their guy. So they've got their stacked, or not stacked, but you know, their talented guy. And then the Packers go from Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, which was just doing absolutely nothing, to Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, and now Rashawn Gary. So, maybe don't exactly have that number one guy like the Lions and the Vikings and the Bears do, but I think it's a pretty decent trio depending on what Rashawn Gary can do. But without leading you anymore, what are your thoughts on the edge rushers?
Right, because if I'm correct here, the Packers are now they're still a 3-4 defense here, right?
Yeah.
Which would mean that Za'Darius and Preston likely will be outside linebackers / pass rushers, right?
Yeah, they'll kick inside once in a while, but primarily they're outside linebackers.
Okay, well, one, obviously, I don't want to make it all about one guy, but I mean, I can't argue with Khalil Mack.
Right.
Like, he's to me, he's the best defense player in the NFL. I mean, no disrespect to Aaron Donald. I love Aaron Donald and what he does, but to me, Mack is just a freak. I remember a couple years ago, he was an all-pro at two positions. So, I mean, he was all-pro outside linebacker in a 3-4, and then he was also all-pro at a 4-3 end. So, I mean, I'm not going to argue with the guy who was an all-pro at two different positions. So, Yeah, obviously what Mac brings in Floyd, if he can just stay healthy, you know, and take advantage of the attention Khalil Mack brings on one side, then, you know, we could see some improvement from Leonard Floyd going into this year. But I think one has to be Khalil Mack and the Bears. And two, I actually do like the trio of Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, and Rashawn Gray, the rookie, right, yep. this year. Yep. Yeah, I like the trio they have. And really with Za'Darius, you know, we saw him kind of take that big step in Baltimore this year as like a premier pass rusher. No one really talked about him before this past year as much. So if he can go out there and prove it again in Green Bay with the new team, I think he has a chance to really be a household name in the NFL. Preston Smith as well. I live in Dallas, so I see a lot of Cowboy games. He's a very good player. He was a very good player for the Redskins from what I saw. And again, I think Green Bay going out there being aggressive, because that's the narrative, right? Green Bay has never been aggressive when it comes to free agency. They never sign players, and they did this year. So I like what they did with Za'Darius and Preston Smith, and I probably give them the number two spot on this list. And three, I'll give it to the Vikings, because Danielle Hunter led the NFL in sacks this year, which is funny because if your name isn't Donald or Khalil Mack, no one talks about you as far as leading the sacks. Because I think last year was Chandler Jones, and he was somewhat close to the regular season sack record, you know, by Strahan, but no one talked about it. It was all about Donald and the Khalil Mack, which I mean it should be, but I mean just put some respect on other pass rushers. Yeah, so you know, and the reason I put him at three is just because with Everson Griffin, we don't know, you know, if he's gonna be the same Everson Griffin that we once saw, you know, before, you know, he had the issues off the field. So and at four, Detroit, because I think they're a little unproven on the defensive line as far as pass rushers go. We know Matt Patricia knows Trey Flowers from his time in New England, but the narrative always has been what New England players and New England coaches don't succeed outside of New England. So we'll have to wait and see on Trey Flowers and see if he lives up to the hype of the deal that he got. So yeah, Chicago 1, Green Bay 2, Minnesota 3, and Detroit 4.
All right, let's talk inside linebackers now. So the Packers, we've got Blake Martinez is kind of the one guy that's in that group. Who's going to be next to him is kind of a big question mark, whether it's, you know, James Crawford or the guy we drafted, Oren Burks, who had kind of a terrible year in his rookie year, hoping to take a step there. The Bears definitely have some pretty big names, Danny Trevathan, and then they drafted Roquan the year before. You look at the Vikings, also got some pretty big names in Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks, and then the Detroit Lions have Jared Davis in the middle of their defense. They drafted Jelani Tavai, and then what else they're doing at linebacker, I'm not entirely sure. So I don't know if you have too many thoughts on that, but what do you think?
Yeah, if I had to rank them, I think probably the most completed resume out of all these units, I think, is probably going to be Minnesota, what Eric Kendricks has done for the Vikings the last couple of years. So I'd go Minnesota 1. Chicago 2, because we know what Trevathan brings to the table, and Roquan kind of throughout the second half of the season kind of came on and was a pretty solid linebacker. Green Bay 3, because if I'm correct here, was it Martinez or Ryan who was injured for most of this year? Or was it both?
Ryan was out all of last year.
Okay, and Martinez played all of this year?
I think so.
So, and Martinez, is a fine player, a very solid player. But we just got to see him. And, you know, the thing with the linebacker position with the Packers is that, you know, they tried the whole Clay Matthews playing the middle linebacker thing beforehand, and then that didn't work out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a jumbled mess. I think Martinez kind of got lost in the mess, you know, under all that. So I think, if he can just have put together a really good year this year, I think he could be a very fine linebacker in the NFL. And then for Jared Davis and the Lions, which is because, you know, you've seen potential here and there from Jared Davis, but then it disappears very quickly, just as fast as it appears. So just got to see the inconsistencies go away from Jared Davis and, you know, put together a solid season.
Yeah, I think that group is a mess. I do a lot of NFL draft stuff. I got a YouTube channel and whatnot. And it's funny because every once in a while I'll hit on something and fans just lose their minds. And I kept saying the Lions really need to work on their linebackers because they're all garbage. And they just get so mad. It's like, you guys really don't know how bad your linebackers are, do you? It is not good. But all right, I'll stop mocking you linebackers, I guess. Enjoy your tight end.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, we came out of Florida. I mean, there were questions, obviously, and, you know, and – you know, maybe he wasn't worth the first round pick, but I mean, you've seen some moments where it's like, hey, he's a good linebacker. Yeah. And then you've seen other moments where it's like, okay, maybe, you know, what are we doing here with this? But yeah, it's just inconsistencies at the linebacker position for Detroit is really what it comes down to.
And full disclosure, I really liked him coming out of college, mostly because I just like guys that hit hard and I don't really care about what the NFL currently needs in linebackers. But yeah, I liked him coming out of college too, but it's just not working. So I don't know. Maybe Jelani Tavai will figure it out. All right.
I hope so.
Yeah. So cornerbacks now. We got a couple more positions to go.
Gotcha.
So the Packers got a lot of real young guys. Jair Alexander, who was kind of the star, and it's kind of a matter of hopefully he didn't peak because it was good, but hopefully there's some room to grow because the expectation or hope is he can actually be one of the kind of premier corners. Josh Jackson, we didn't see quite as much from, but some promise. You know, he was potentially a first-round pick last year. Kevin King, real serious injury issues, and, you know, I don't want to lead you, but I'm not personally sold going into year three. The Chicago Bears, Kyle Fuller, Prince Amukamara, they lost their slot corner and replaced him with Buster Screen, which I don't know why in the world you do that other than you need a warm body in there. But, you know, otherwise, Kyle Fuller, Prince Amukamara had great years last year. Vikings cornerbacks, Mackenzie Alexander, Trey Wayne, Xavier Rhodes, you know, that same crop. And then Detroit, obviously, their number one is Darius Slay. And then, they actually went out, I think, Justin Coleman from Seattle in the slot. And then Rashawn Melvin. Tease Tabor is another guy that I was really high on. Before he ran his 40, I was really high on him. And then he's just been about the worst.
You and Florida defenders.
I don't know
what it is, man.
I got to stop watching them because I don't know.
Hey, let me ask you, how high were you on Chauncey Gardner-Johnson?
I liked him. Not as high as everybody else, but I did like him. I think I can't say. I don't want to say the guy that we drafted, but there was only like two. Our three safeties I really, really liked, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was kind of second tier. I thought second round was fair.
Yeah. Okay, cool. As long as you didn't like him as much as Jared Davis or Taylor. No. Good.
I won't put that bad juju on him. I'll just say he's garbage. He's no good.
Right.
All right, I'll let you run with the cornerbacks.
Yeah, so and let me just say, you know, with the cornerbacks in the North, you know, the one guy who I really was high on in last year's draft and kind of after the injuries kind of put together a really pretty good rookie year was Jair Alexander. I think if you one game in particular, if you go back with that Rams game, I remember two plays back to back. I think they had Brandon Cooks run a go route back to back plays on Jair Alexander one-on-one. And I think he swatted one away and he broke up another one. And, you know, he put his finger up. His way, like that swagger, you know, just
he's got all that.
Yeah, it's something cool for a young corner to have in this league, especially with how pass happy it is nowadays and aggressive teams can be. So, you know, you look at the Packers core, you know, as you mentioned, I do love Jair Alexander. I think he has the potential to be a, you know, another great cornerback in this league, but no one's talking about him quite yet because, you know, it wasn't, you know, he was hurt most of this year. Green Bay wasn't in the playoffs. No reason to make noise. And with Josh Jackson, as you mentioned, I thought he could have been a, you know, borderline first round pick. He fell a little bit. The Packers took him. I thought it was a very good pick where they took him at last year. And Kevin King, you know, I know you weren't sold on him in year three, and I'm a tad more optimistic.
Most
you know, so
are,
I'm gonna
yeah.
give him the I'm gonna give him. I don't blame you for that either way. I mean, it's either you know, it's either your patience runs short on players, and you know by you know year two or three, you got to show me what you're worth. You know, bringing back or you know. It's well year by year, we'll take it year by year, and you know, just see where we're at. But you know, with King, you just kind of got to hope for the best and hope that you know, that he just puts together and is healthy, and it can show you something to be positive about going into year four and think that maybe you could bring him back on a prove it deal, you know? So that's what you kind of got to hope for in those kind of situations with an injured college player trying to get back into, you know, game shape, I guess. But I think for me, the number one group is probably going to be Chicago, because you look at Kyle Fuller led the NFL in picks this year. And Mukamara is a very good number two corner to have. And the good thing about them, well, not good thing, but the great thing about the Bears defense is that it's wired from bottom to from the bottom to the top. So they rely on their pass rushers to get to the quarterback, and, you know, their DBs just to hold their own. So I think that being said, with Khalil Mack, Eddie Goldman, Akeem Hicks, and, you know, Leonard Floyd, if they can get to the quarterback, you know, then you can afford to have guys like Buster Screen covering, you know, wide receivers, you know, because you're counting on that front seven to get to the quarterback. And that's what the Bears do. That's what they do well, I might add. So I think the number one would be Chicago for me. Number two, I think I would probably give it to Green Bay, just because I know what they have. I know what I'm getting with the Packers secondary, if that makes sense. I know what I'm going to get. It's not a top five, top six or seven secondary, but it's average. It will get the job done most of the time, unless you're just going against an elite offense like the Saints, the Chiefs, the Patriots, where they will pick you apart schematically and just, you know, destroy you. That's what they do. So, Green Bay two. Number three, I really do give it to Detroit.
Okay.
I say this because I know Darius Slay is a Pro Bowl type corner. You know, he's a great player. They bring in Justin Coleman from Seattle to play the slot, who I think he's worth the price tag they paid. I believe they made him the highest paid slot corner in the NFL, and I think he's worth every penny of it. I think Matt Patricia has an idea of what he wants to do with Coleman in the slot. And Minnesota is at four to me, because we did not see the Sam Xavier Rhodes that we saw before. He was hurt this year, but he also looked lost. Didn't look like the same, you know, aggressive corner we saw before with Rhodes. Trey Wayne's struggled a little bit. They're gonna get their first round pick back from UCF last year. Mike Hughes. They're gonna get Hughes back from the injury, but we don't know how that's gonna hold up. So I think it's just with Minnesota, it's a lot more questions, you know, because you don't know who the number two corner is going to be. You don't know if Rhodes really is the same corner, you know, after this year that we've seen before. So at least with Detroit, I can say I have my number one corner. I have my starting slot corner figured out. And towards Minnesota, it's a lot more questions than answers, I think. I think that's the best way to describe that secondary, is more questions than answers. Per se. So that's how I view the corner situation in the North.
Yeah, so the last group is the safeties, and there's a little bit of friction between Packers and Bears here, with HaHa Clinton Dix going to Chicago and Adrian Amos coming to Green Bay. And it's kind of ugly on Twitter with fan bases kind of trashing ex-players, which I'm not a big fan of. But so Chicago, obviously Eddie Jackson just playing out of his mind. HaHa Clinton Dix, who I think is, you know, depending on who you ask, Bears fans overrate him, Packers fans underrate him, but he's got a real good chance to thrive over there in Chicago next to Eddie Jackson and in that system.
Mm-hmm.
The Minnesota Vikings with Harrison Smith, and I believe they're going to be running with Anthony Harris. He actually seemingly played pretty well last year. We'll have to see how he does. And then, you know, the Detroit Lions, I'm not entirely sure. Quandre Diggs obviously is going to be one of the guys. Tavon Wilson. And then Green Bay has got brand spanking new safeties. Adrian Amos from Chicago. And then Darnell Savage, who they traded up in the first round to draft, who is the other guy that I was mentioning that I really liked. I don't know if you had a chance to watch his college tape at all, but I didn't watch a ton of it until we drafted him. And then it was just one of those like, oh, that's impressive. So
that's, you got that guy.
All right. Cool. So anyways, your thoughts on the safeties?
Yeah, no, I think it's a very close group as far as, you know, like I think each of the four teams has like a set star, and then they have another, and then they have unknown playing the other spot. Right. So I think with, you know, Chicago, you have Eddie Jackson, who is the star, and then HaHa's going to be the question mark. You look at Minnesota, you have Harrison Smith, who is the star, then you have Anthony Harris, who's going to be the question mark. Green Bay, you have Amos is going to be the star. And then you have Savage, who's kind of, you know, it's a rookie. Right. It's a rookie, so obviously there are going to be questions. And then in Detroit, you have Quandre Diggs, who you think should be your star safety. He should be the guy. And then you have Wilson, who's Wilson slash whoever else, you know, they may see playing safety. Nobody really knows. So I think if I had to order them, I think one would have to be Chicago, because out of all the question marks I just listed, Haha's probably the most, you know, proven out of those guys. And I think you're right. I think Bears fans will overrate Haha just because he was a Packer, and, you know, he made plays. And then if you ask Green Bay fans, they'll tell you that he sucked. That's why we got rid of him. That's why we traded him. You know, he joins the Bears, of course, just to get back at the Packers. But I think if you ask me, Haha was a very fine player and a very fine safety. And I think it was just a matter of conflict of interest between him and Green Bay. I think that's why he got traded. Ultimately, it was because he just, you know, there was a lot of drama going on last year in Green Bay. I'm sure you know as anyone. There was a lot of drama. A lot of drama. And I think Haha publicly commenting that, you know, Green Bay didn't want to bring him back and that they weren't going to negotiate a contract, you know, got him traded, which, I mean, as a player, I mean, you say what you want, do what you want, but I mean, that's just how it is. It's a business. Chicago won. I think I would go Minnesota too, because I think Harrison Smith is a very good safety, and I think he's a very underrated star. People will talk about him for a couple of weeks, but then they don't. So it's just, you know, he's a very fine safety. People don't talk about him as much as we would like to. I think number three would be Green Bay, because I think Adrian Amos was a very good safety in Detroit or Chicago, just kind of overlooked because of all the plays Eddie Jackson made. But he certainly held his own with the Bears when asked upon to. So I think he's a very fine player. And actually, I did watch some tape on Savage when he came out. So I'm excited to see what they can do together as a safety unit, because that very well could be the most complete duo come time the season is over, for sure. Depending how things turn out with Haha in Chicago. Then Detroit, Quandre Diggs, he's going from corner to safety. He's a very good corner. I saw him at he played Texas, so I've seen a lot of Texas games when he played here. And then his first couple of years in with Detroit, I've always been high on Quandre Diggs, you know, so I'm very glad he got the extension done with the Lions, because I think he's worthy of it and worth it. So, I think it's going to be interesting to see who the other safety is for the Lions. But I think I should try to give you, before the season started right now, where I think they rank, it'd be Chicago, Minnesota, Green Bay, and Detroit.
Awesome. So one final question. And answer it again however you want. But if you just look at the teams overall, Bears, Packers, Lions, and Vikings, which ones do you think, not just ranking, but which ones do you think maybe have a real shot at, let's say, Super Bowl, playoffs, winning the division, or are just kind of, you know, maybe a work in progress?
Okay, well, let's see. Let's think about this here, Ryan. So, and look, I think if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, and if the acquisitions of Amos, Zadarius, and Preston Smith, if they prove that they're worth it and they play like they did last year for their respective teams, I think Green Bay's got a shot, you know, not only making the playoffs, but they can make a run, you know. They can win a playoff game or two and maybe cause some serious noise, because all the Packers really need is Aaron to be healthy and to protect Aaron at all costs, right? That's just ultimately what it is. Right. So I think if those three guys can, you know, prove that they're worth every penny that the Packers signed them for, and if maybe you get some outside production outside of Davante Adams and Aaron Jones, you know, maybe guys like Jimmy Graham steps up, or, you know, Geronimo Allison, he's back with the Packers, correct? He's back. Yeah. Yep. And maybe if you figure out who the number two wide receiver is outside of Adams, I don't know if you know that or not, but yeah, if they can get some production at the wide receiver spot outside of Davante Adams, then I think for sure Green Bay, to me, could very well be in that Super Bowl spot for all we know. If not Green Bay, I would think Chicago obviously is the second runner up, because look at that defense and what it did last year, and they're probably gonna do the very same thing this year. With that defense the Bears have. The offense still has some question marks. Let's not be, you know, They have some question marks and what they can do. And then with Minnesota, it all falls on Kirk Cousins, right? If Cousins can get them over the hump and, you know, win some games when it really matters, and he won't. They'll pay him $83 million, and he won't. So we know this, but, yeah. I mean, if you'd asked me between Case Keenum and Kirk Cousins, I think I would have probably paid Kirk Cousins too, if we're going to be honest here, because you just didn't know what you're going to get out of Case Keenum week in and week out, and Cousins probably have more upside, I guess, but... yeah, that's just what Cousins is. He's going to be a stat padder, and, you know, he'll be a guy who will get you 7 to 8 wins, you know, and then there'll be 2 or 3 games when it really counts, and he won't get the job done. So, and then with Detroit, I think they're rebuilding with Patricia, but I think they're a team within a year or two. I think they could really, you know, they could do something in a couple of years, I think, with Detroit. I think they're trending in the right direction with the pieces they have. The guys they signed. So I like where Detroit, I like where the direction they're going in. And if they could just give Patricia some time to see this out, I think it could be a very good thing for Detroit. But right now, I think Green Bay is going to be the favorite. And if Aaron can stay healthy, I think that's a very dangerous team to make a late season push. Chicago, just because of that defense and what we know they can do, they'll be a tough team to play. And then Minnesota and Detroit will be kind of just there.
That's awesome, man. Well, I really, really appreciate you jumping on and taking the time. This was a little longer than I was expecting it to be, but I really appreciate it. And make sure you check out All Saints Considered. And that is the name of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That sounded messed up when I said it. Like, that's not it. All Saints Considered podcast. And I look forward to working with you in the future, man.
Of course, Ryan, we're always welcome to have you on to talk some Saints Packers with us. Maybe we'll do a playoff show. Who knows, depending on this year.
I hope so. All right, man. Well, you have a good one. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, you too. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Bye.